continuing in John this morning, we find ourselves in the last part of John 17 today. John 17, 20 through 26. We remember the last few weeks, we've been looking at this chapter 17 and the prayer of Jesus here. So we're going to continue that this morning. How's our prayer life? How are we doing? Are we praying? Hopefully so. Are we praying enough? Probably not. What are we praying about? It's usually our food, right? Please bless this chocolate cake and use it for the nourishment of my body, that kind of thing. Miracle, that's what we pray for. We pray for things, right? Sickness, health, we've got people in our life. Do we ever pray for ourselves? It's a different sort of question. A lot of us don't do a lot of things for ourselves, right? We do things for other people. We don't think about ourselves. Do we pray for ourselves? When we do, what do those prayers sound like? What do they feel like? Do we do it at all? We should be in prayer for ourselves as well as others. Amen. If we haven't been of late, we can change that. And also, no worries, Jesus prayed for you. That's what we're going to look at this morning. That's where we find ourselves in John 17. What is this prayer specifically is the question, and we're going to see the answer in two parts this morning. Be one and be with. John 17, verse 20. Let's stand as we read God's word together. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning that we have together. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Help us dive in deeper to these words on these pages that you have for us this morning. Help us really feel them and apply them to our lives as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we've reached the final section here in John 17 as we have broken it up. So this would be the final third of this prayer from Jesus. Where we started was Jesus prayed for himself and his mission, but what we saw was that also included us. And then he prayed for the disciples, those 12, those given to him, but then we saw that also included us. And now he prays for us specifically. How can Jesus specifically pray for you 2,000 years ago? Anyone in here had that many birthdays? Not even close. How did he pray for us? Well, let's find out. Be one. We jump into our final third of this prayer with Jesus sort of turning the page for us. We started in verse 20. I do not ask for these only. That's the 12 he was praying for when we looked at it 2 weeks ago. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. Their word. So whose word? The 12, the disciples. So those who hear the gospel from them. That's who he's praying for. Those ones who will come after and hear and believe. And we know this as this long, unbroken chain, generation after generation of gospel preached and gospel heard and gospel believed. And then they go out and share the gospel and then someone else believes. It's that chain. That's who he lifts up now. And that's you and that's me. You're on the mind of Jesus in this moment. In every moment, but before creation, before anything existed at all, you existed in the thoughts and the actions of your Savior. In the beginning, God, and God so loved the world, and in both cases, you. You're the reason. Now, we know ultimately it's for his worship, it's for his glory, but through you, Jesus prays for you. And we need to feel that. This isn't some relative fumbling some words before you sit down to eat. We've all fumbled those words, those prayers. This isn't me praying for his word to reign in our hearts as we gather and as we leave. This is the creator and sustainer of everything, Jesus. While seeing the cross coming into focus, that's where we're standing here. We're already in the day of. He's headed to the garden. The cross is coming. In that moment, he's pausing to remember you. Never feel unwanted or unworthy. Never feel less. You're so much more than you know. So much that he who knew no sin took your place. With that said, Jesus prays for us in two ways. And the first way here is for everyone that hears those words and believes to be one. Verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Again, in 22 and 23, the glory you've given me, I've given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one. We see the pattern. One, be one, be one. What does this mean? And we may think to be one is to work together, or to help one another. That's definitely an aspect of it. That's a good thing to do. That's part of it. My mind sort of goes to marriage when I think of being one, because that's what Scripture says, two becoming one flesh. Where does Jesus point us to? Well, in our section, he describes it in terms of God, being one like they are one. His glory, and we've been looking at that as meaning his sacrifice for us, his spirit within us, his glory, so that we may be one. Galatians says this, 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So everyone saved stands under one banner, Jesus. Now Ephesians 4, verse 4. There's one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Does this describe the church in our world today? Do we all have the same beliefs? Do we all claim this baptism to mean the same thing? Do we all claim one true God? Unfortunately, the answer is no. In the larger scale of just religions in general, we know that to be no, but in the smaller scale of just Christian denominations, there are also many directions for the faith. Now, some of them are obvious perversions of truth, and some are less obvious. Some of them are obvious heresies, and some are not so clear. Some of these typical contradictions may be things like, he is the only way, which is scripture, or all religions lead to the same place. They can't be both, right? His sacrifice to pull me from my sin, new heart, new mind, new life, or his life so I can continue to sin. Jesus is God, or just a good moral person to follow. There are plenty of more like this. In simpler terms, think about math. Did he just say simple in math? Yes, he did. We'll keep it simple. 1 + 1 = nobody knows that answer. It's 2. If that's true to you, maybe I say line up over here. 1 + 1 = 2. If that's true to you, line up over here. If it's 3 to you, then you can line up here. And if it's 4, you can line up here. And if it's 0 to you, then you can just pretend there are no lines and numbers aren't really real. That's what the world teaches about any truth today, and certainly about Jesus. Do we understand that there's really only one true answer? And the rest of the answers were their own versions, and those versions were false. It is never 3, right? Amen. Also, everything against this book in your hands is false. Everything against God's word keeps you from being one. Jesus is pleading with the Father here that all who are his would be protected and would be one. One truth, one faith, one Jesus. Are we one? Now, this is a good time for us to see that Jesus mentions 2 reasons for his prayer for us to be one. Let them be one, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And let them be one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. So our ability to stand together as one under one gospel, one truth, one God, one Jesus, one church, to stand there is so that the world will believe. That's what Jesus just said. We'll believe that Jesus was sent by God the Father and that God the Father loves all who believe just as he loves his own Son. We are to be an example to the world. That's the reason Jesus gives. Now, the implication of this is that your being one should not close the door to the world. You can't be an example to the world behind a closed door, right? It is not us and them. It is us and then it is gospel to them. This is not a closed community. These doors in the back are open to all. Open to be cared for, open to come hear the gospel, open to worship with us. Open to be loved, regardless of what they go through currently. In the words of Jesus, so that they may believe. So that they may have new hearts and new minds and a new life for Jesus. So that they may feel the love of God for the very first time in their life. I know those words hit sort of hard to Southern Baptist circles. But it's what Jesus just said. Now, it is something different to confess Christ. It's something different to want to join to the church, to want to be baptized. These things mean, I believe what you believe. These things mean that Jesus is who he says he is, and I repent of my sins. These things mean I want to join you as standing as one, but these things are not a requirement to walk through the door. I think we understand that. We stand here together so that the world may have a chance to stand with us. So the question is, do we stand together? Are our doors open? Have we loved as we have been loved? Are we one? Let's keep moving. Be with Jesus. So Jesus desires something else in our text as he's praying for us. Request number two on our behalf is this, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. So those given are the 12, but also they are all who believe, all who will ever believe have been given to Jesus. So us to be with him where he is, that's a bit confusing. He's with them in this moment of prayer. So the 12 are with him. And he is always with us. So what could he mean? He gives us an important clue here. He continues, to see my glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, we've been talking about Jesus and the foundation of the world for several weeks now. We've been talking about how all who believe have been known since before the beginning. We've been talking about how Jesus has always existed. He is before the beginning. We also discussed a longing for Jesus. He longs to return to his former glory. And that former glory was by the side of the Father. That was the beginning of this prayer for us. So John 17, 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have had before the world existed. He has only ever left the side of the Father because of us. Do we understand that? The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us to save us. And then the Word returned to the Father's side. That's the glory he wishes us to see. Meaning, he desires all who have been given to him to see what he sees and to go where he goes, meaning to have eternal life. Jesus just prayed to the Father to secure your salvation. Father, keep them to the end. Keep them and let them see me. Let them be where I am. This is eternal life. This is the promise to come. This is the place he left to go prepare for us. And this concept is all over the Bible. Revelation 3:21, to the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. As I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither there shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. John 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now that one's a bit more ominous. The good will have life, and those who have done evil will have judgment. If you have paid any attention to me at all on Sundays, if you've heard just a little bit, then you can hear the bad news in that verse. Why? Because no one is good, no, not one. All have strayed and all have gone their own way, meaning all are evil, all on our own in comparison to a holy God, and all deserve judgment. Now, this is the message of Jesus. He was judged for us and is now our judge. If we look to him in our place, then nothing in our past and nothing in our future can keep us from him. Do we understand that? Faith in him means a sinner saved by the sinless Son of God. Means the unworthy are now called worthy. And that's every single one of us, no matter where you have stood in your life. Faith is the answer, not your own effort. The miracle offered by God here is that he did it for us. And really the point of this section is hope. We have hope in the Son. No one too far gone to repent and believe. No one so lost that they cannot be found. Jesus desires that all come to him. Do you believe? And he continues his prayer here. Verse 25. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Our promise of salvation, of being the people that Jesus is praying for here, that promise is grounded in Jesus knowing the Father. Let's start there. How well do we think the Son knows the Father? Is it like our relationships in which we know and are close, and yet we don't really know? Meaning our thoughts, meaning our past, meaning the deepest parts of what it is to be you. Anyone in your life know you like that? Anyone in your life know every thought you've ever had up here? Maybe someone gets close. Maybe you've let someone in. Now compare that to how the Father and the Son know each other. And maybe it's time for a quick summary of what Jesus has been telling us about their relationship in this book. Just in the book of John that we've been covering, this is what Jesus has been saying. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know Jesus is the Word. He just said he's the same as the Father. John 5:19, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but whatever he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. So they are the same and they do the same. John 8:58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Which is the name of God in the Old Testament, so they have the same name. They're the same, they do the same, they have the same name. John 14:9, Jesus said to him, I've been with you so long, how do you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So they're the same, and they do the same, and they have the same name, and if you've seen one, you've seen the other. Do we get what he's saying about their relationship? Now in our text, he says that they are one, and we can be one with them. Hear those words. It's verse 21, them and us, us and them. We don't fully understand what is being offered to us. I know we don't understand because I've seen our lives lived. Yours and mine. You see it. What are we connected to? How do we walk through this life? Is it like the one who created and sustains everything is within us? Is it like we are within him? Or is it like almost anything else is more important? Which one are we closer to? What does your life say? What influences it? What has its finger on your soul? Is it the emotional highs and lows in this life? Pastor, you say we can't have emotions? No. I cry in front of you almost every week, right? But do they control you? Is it money? Is it career? Is it sin? Or is it Jesus? Wherever your mind went, hold on to that thought. Now that we see the foundation of his request, his relationship with the Father, his effort on our behalf, now we must see what he says about the world and about us. He says, the world does not know the Father. Let's start there. The world does not know. And this is not a statement of the world's ignorance, because everyone knows about God. Romans 1 says he is plain to see in creation around us. Every people group who has ever existed has worshipped something. They knew about God and was trying to fill the void. Even the people today that walk around saying they worship nothing, they do. It's just themselves, or it's the actual creation instead of creator. It's something. This is not that. It's not general knowledge. This is intimate. This is knowing like Jesus knows. This is like you knew your best friend, and yet now you've been through some things together and you really know them. There's another level. You thought you knew your spouse while dating, right? At least you thought you did. But now you're 10 years in, you're 20 years in, you're 50 years in. Now you know. We understand the difference. Go back to math. We all know 1 minus 1 is 0. I'll help you out there. 0. That's knowledge. That's general math knowledge. But when someone steps in front of you in that line you're in and takes the last brownie, now we really know. Now we've felt what it is to take the one away. There's nothing left. Always come back to chocolate, I think. It's not the lack of knowledge about Jesus. Though that does still exist. It's why we have a mandate to spread the word of God. It's not the lack of knowing who he is, but rather knowing him. One with him. His spirit within you. Being born again. Seeing the cross and knowing what was given for you there. That's knowing, and the world does not know. That's what he says. Now us, we know. We know because it has been made known, and because of faith and spirit and transformation. And Jesus says we know because the same love the Father has for the Son is in us. Feel that. The Father and the Son and the Spirit have always existed and created all things and sacrificed for all things and are completely one, and we are one, and we have the same love. What a beautiful and miraculous thing from God. Now for the hard part. Which one are we? I know what we claim. I know what we sing about. You know what we sing about. I know the reason behind our baptisms. That's not what I ask. One group is intimately changed forever by meeting the Son, and the other walks like they do not know. Which one are we? Back to what we were holding on to earlier. What influences us in our life? What are we leaning into for entertainment or for wisdom or for boredom or for relief or whatever you fill the blank with? I ask because most of the world, including Christians, including you, including me, lean into more world. We get our entertainment from those who hate our faith. We get our news and opinions from those who mock what we believe. We know more secular lyrics and movie quotes than we do Bible. Most of the time, the false theology and the fake Christianity around us, those things, they just feel better to us. They feel easier. Which one are we? Are we the world, or are we the ones who have been given out of the world and are one with the Son? Can we at least see there's a line? Can we see that we cannot do what we've been called to do, that is to shine a light in the darkness? We cannot do that if we're also hugging the darkness. When I think about this, I think about turning on the light for my kids to wake them up for school. It really makes me a cruel parent, I think. I think in their ire, they think it's torture. That's what I'm doing to them. It's really the closest thing we're going to get to seeing a vampire that we'll ever come to. Waking someone up with the flip of a switch. You get the screeching and the hissing and the crawling back under the covers. Maybe the question is, what is our reaction when encountering the light? Encountering the truth? Do we lean in, repenting if we have to? Do we share it with others? Or do we turn away offended and making excuses? Walking away, talking about how, that can't be the real right. That didn't feel right to me. Scripture just spoke against me, so it must be wrong. Or maybe I don't even know the Word of God, so I'll just follow the world. What could go wrong? It's all the same truth. It's all the same love, right? I hope we can hear the problems there. Jesus claims to be God in the flesh and the light of the world and the only way to be saved. Who is he to us? Is it him or the world? Jesus just prayed for you to choose him, to be one with him. And we close here with a reminder that Jesus just closed his prayer by praying that everyone that would ever believe would be one with him and would feel the love of the Father and would see his glory. That was his prayer for us. our question as we leave is, what are we letting stand in the way? In the way of our faith, or in the way of our sharing the gospel, or in the way of feeling God's love? What stands in the way of feeling one with your Savior? If it's something heavy going on right now, He knows. If it's some sickness or some decision or some pain or some sin, He knows. Let's hand it over like we know Him. Never felt the love of God until this moment. You've never really thought through what it meant to be His. You never thought through what being of the world was doing to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. He will be yours. You will be His. This thing called faith will spring up from within you, and you will know. You will know. What's on your heart this morning? I want to remind everyone that this moment of prayer in our text, for us, happened 2,000 years ago. And yet it happened for you. It happened so that you may believe. It might have been for this very moment in your life right now. It might have been for what you are carrying right now. How does that make you feel? What are we trying to hold on to? He has it and He has you. Turn to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this time together. We thank You for this place and this people. We thank You that we are Your family in every sense of the word. Help us be that family for one another. Father, we thank You for this prayer for us in chapter 17. We thank You that we have the words of John. We have the very words of Jesus remembering us in a very real way. Help us to never forget what was offered for us. These prayers on these pages, the very life of the Son. Help us never forget that Jesus says in His own words that we are loved like He is loved by the Father. Father, help us now, if anything is pulling us any other direction, that we would let go and turn to Him. In Jesus' name I pray.